Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. In October 1970, the Canadian government introduced a state of emergency as security forces hunted for Quebec nationalists who'd kidnapped a provincial government minister and a British diplomat. Claire Bowes has been speaking to one of the men taken hostage.
It's October the 5th, 1970. In Canada, news is breaking of a kidnapping.
49-year-old James Richard Cross was abducted as he left his downtown Montreal home for the British government office about 4 hours ago. His wife apparently saw four men, three with machine guns and one with a revolver, force Mr. Cross into a taxi.
The British Trade Commissioner, James Cross, was in fact half-dressed and just getting ready for work at his home in a quiet street in Montreal when several men with guns burst in on him and his wife.
I was in my bedroom talking to my wife as we had a busy day ahead, when suddenly a man walked through from the dressing room and pointed a gun at me and said, "Get down on the floor or you'll be f***ing dead." Our dog jumped on the bed beside Barbara, started to growl at this point, and he told Barbara to hold the dog or he'll shoot it. Barbara said, "You must let me say goodbye to my husband," and she came over and kissed me, and then they took me out.
The men were part of the FLQ, the Front de Libération de Québec. Their goal was independence from Canada for the French-speaking province of Quebec. They'd been fairly active in the previous decade with small-scale bombings and an attack on the Montreal Stock Exchange, but this was the first time they'd carried out a kidnapping. Their demands included the release of 23 political prisoners and the broadcast of their manifesto. The Justice Minister of Quebec issued this statement to the FLQ.
"As an ultimate concession to save the life of Mr. Cross, the federal government has instructed me that it is disposed to offer you safe conduct towards a foreign country. I therefore ask you, a gesture of absolute good faith, release Mr. Cross immediately."
With no response, the government made one further concession, and the FLQ manifesto was broadcast on the radio. James Cross was listening.
Their manifesto was broadcast, and nothing much happened then for the next day or so. I didn't believe that anybody would give in to these, so therefore I felt I had to compose myself for death. So I spent the next sort of 36 hours thinking through this, that, you know, death was coming perhaps 30 years earlier than I hoped. Once I'd worked that out, I had a sort of reference point to which I could return if things ever looked really bad later on.
A day later, on the 10th of October, things did take a turn for the worse when news came that the Labour Minister of Quebec, Pierre Laporte, had also been kidnapped.
The stakes were now raised. Either all the authorities would intervene to do something to save Pierre Laporte, the minister, and hopefully pick me up en route, or that they would become even more hardline, which they did.
1 week on, and with no progress in finding the hostages, the Canadian Prime Minister, Pierre Trudeau, took the unprecedented step of suspending civil liberties and allowing arrests without trial, the first time these war measures had been brought in during peacetime. Handcuffed and wearing a hood which prevented him from seeing his kidnappers, James Cross watched as the news was broadcast.
By now, I had been allowed during the day to get up and sit in front of a desk with the television set in the corner, but I had a hood on, just able to see ahead of me, but not never behind, and I was not allowed to turn my head, which was very difficult at times, and I knew that I mustn't see their faces. So after the War Measures Act on the Friday, it was a quiet day, and then on the Saturday evening, about 9 o'clock, the television came on with stories that there was a body in the trunk of a car on an old airport just outside Montreal. The television crews went out there, and somebody opened the boot of the car, and there was a body inside, which was that of Pierre Laporte, the kidnapped minister.
So you saw this report on the television?
Yes, yes.
And what was your response?
Well, absolute horror, because, you know, who was next? It got even worse after that, because about 2 o'clock in the morning, the national broadcaster announced that I was dead and that my body had been found. And, you know, I was afraid that Barbara and my daughter would be watching, and really that was, sincerely hope, the worst night of my life. In the end, I think even the kidnappers took a bit of pity on me and gave me a couple of aspirin, and I managed to get some sleep.
The days soon turned into weeks, and by late November, the Canadian public was losing patience. With all the resources and manpower at their disposal, the Canadian authorities had still made no progress in finding James Cross. The FLQ continued to keep up the pressure, sending letters to the authorities repeating their demands, and even sending a photograph of their hostage sitting on a box of explosives. For James Cross, his capture had begun to take on an uneasy routine.
I had to sort of do my best to stay alive, which meant just following their orders. But as I say, nothing much happened until the penultimate day. I was sitting watching television, and they came and put handcuffs on me. I hadn't had handcuffs on me for some weeks. I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Well, we think the police know where we are." A bit later, the electricity went off. So they knew then that the police were surrounding the place. By this stage, it had got fairly light-hearted, because either we were all coming out alive or we weren't coming out alive. It was the end game. And in the middle of the night, they decided to throw out a message with their demands. Somebody was writing the message, and at the end of it, somebody said, "We must put in our FLQ slogan, which is 'Nous vaincrons, we shall conquer.'" And the idea of these three chaps sitting there with sort of about 1,000 soldiers and police around them saying, "We shall conquer," was so entertaining. We all burst out laughing. That, I suppose, was the sort of release of tension, because none of us knew what was going to happen then.
What did happen was that the kidnappers decided to negotiate. After several hours, the FLQ agreed to be exiled to Cuba. An old exhibition site was temporarily turned into the Cuban consulate, and that's where the release was to take place.
So we got in this car and tore down high speed, and going rather dangerously with outriders all around and crowds lining the streets, and came up to this building, and a colleague of mine was there waiting for me, and we got out. I turned to the left and they turned to the right, and I never saw them again.
So those first few moments of freedom, what did they feel like?
Well, you imagine, absolute sort of, you know, I think the first thing I did was spin my chair around and sit in it on these circular chairs and just spin it round. It's the first time I'd been able to turn my head in 2 months.
James Cross returned to Britain shortly after. He's now retired and lives in the south of England. The FLQ cell responsible for kidnapping him was exiled, but eventually returned to Canada to face charges. All have now been released from prison.
Claire Bowes. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.